Hello, hello, and welcome to the Seabets podcast. We are your hosts, Regina Piltz.
And Ruben Cervantes.
And we're starting a new series on the Ministry of Reconciliation, which is quite a mouthful and we don't fully grasp it, but this conversation is needed. And so we are here with just our team. We've got Angela, Nani, Ruben, and myself.
Yeah.
And I'm excited slash nervous about where we're going to land this because it's a big topic and it's huge and powerful and needed all at the same time.
Absolutely.
And they're often the scary topics to talk about.
No, and you know, what's really cool about having this conversation with our team, you know, which I love doing this, guys. We should do this more regularly. But the point is we all come from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Very different. I mean, Nani and I share that our mother language is Spanish, but her version of Spanish has a lot more swag than my version of Spanish. You know, I have a little bit more, well, you know, my style is different than you know, the Venezuelan Spanish.
Yeah.
But even the cultural background, you know, I grew up in a farm, she grew up in a city, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you're from England.
Yes.
And then we have Angela from Taiwan and that culture, that backdrop, who grew up in New Jersey as well. And just we come from such different perspectives.
Yes.
Yet one thing unites us about who we are, and it's not English, though that did end up becoming.
That's helpful.
Yeah, a way to communicate with one another. But it was that we have a shared a story that we have been transferred from darkness to everlasting light.
It's so true.
And the gratitude in us, it moves us to have these conversations of God help us.
Yeah.
And right now, in America in particular, but it's always been the problem of the nations, is the need for peoples to come together and be reconciled to each other, right?
Yeah.
And so the reason we're calling this a series and this podcast, the Ministry of Reconciliation, is because we need reconciliation.
We really do.
But we want it in the way that the Bible presents it, right? And so I felt like let's look into 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as the beginning of this, the guidance to this conversation. So I'm going to read almost the whole chapter. So bear with us because this is going to introduce the next few podcasts as we talk about reconciliation and the, you know, the black-white issue and, of course, other races and other ethnic hostile environments, ethnically hostile environments. We want to talk about all of that.
Yeah.
And because I think it's happening and the scriptures are relevant to it. So here's what I love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 starts talking about this heavenly dwelling, right? For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens, for it is this tent we groan, longing to put our heavenly dwelling, right? So verse 3, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked, verse 4, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I mean, what an image. Verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I mean, what a statement of longing to be with him in an eternal perspective. Verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear, not just one ethnicity, right? Not just one people. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And here's where the concept of Ministry of Reconciliation shows up after that revelation of the heavenly dwelling, right? Verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Verse 12, we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you a cause to boast about us so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Whoa, he's going there. Verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. that's funny. Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Yeah. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And let me define that. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. And it keeps going.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful? Now, when I heard ministry of reconciliation, for some reason, I mean, just because of the hostilities that surround us, I always kept on thinking about, oh, God wants us to reconcile to each other, which I think is a noble goal.
Yes.
I mean, especially because he's asking us to be one in John 17, right? This desire in his heart, God, would you help them become one? And so it makes sense, you know, that would be kind of an understanding of what the ministry of reconciliation that he gave us is, but that's not what it is defined as.
No, that's insane. That is this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what reconciliation is.
And the ministry of reconciliation, more specifically, is that we would partner in that endeavor.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, often, okay, so you guys know, right now I'm going through a chronic pain situation in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to heal. And I'm being told that it's incurable what I'm facing, which, you know, I'm choosing both wisdom and believing them, but also the faith to believe God, that he can change that narrative. The point is, what I've been dealing with is, you know, there's a way to treat the symptom, which right now is a really intense pain.
Right.
And then there's dealing with the root issue, right? And if you solve the root issue, then you have no symptoms.
Okay.
And that's the big conflict in medicine and holistic and homeopathic versus, whatever. And I don't want to engage in that conversation. The point is that when I read this, you know, and I think about the ministry of reconciliation, what would the world look like if it was reconciled to God? I mean, think about all the problems, even like harming the earth and this, like, you know, debate whether, you know, we should care for the creation and, you know, and like all of that, all of these arguments are not even an issue anymore,
right?
Because people are looking to God for direct instruction. Tell me what to do. I trust your ways better than mine.
Yeah.
And right now with this ethnic conflict that's plaguing the world, it's always been there, but right now the flashpoint created a massive explosion of angst and pain to be displayed in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We are gaining some perspective, you know, from this.
Yeah.
What I feel the scriptures say in this chapter is, hey, yes, that's an important issue, but there's a deeper issue.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, we were even touching a little bit about this before we started recording, but how we need to live peaceably with men, and we need reconciliation between ourselves. But what you're really touching is that is a fruit of the main tree, which is reconciliation to God.
Like, absolutely.
Reconciliation between blacks, whites, every culture will automatically take place if we are first reconciled to God.
Yeah.
That's so good. I think when I think about it, like living peacefully with God and with brothers too. Like, I think of the Sermon of the Mount, you know, that beatitude for the ones that bring peace, that make peace between people groups, they will be called sons of God.
Wow.
Right? And
that's
so I feel
good.
Like when we get the heart of the Lord, we start getting after his traits. Like, he's after this one crisis that started in Genesis 3. And I remember Dave Syker touched a little bit about that, talking about crisis and everything that we're like, this is a crisis that we're living with, the racial conflict, the pandemic crisis, like all of these. But actually, if we go to the root and we solve it and we take after the heart of the Lord for this, then we'll just automatically be like approach life in a way of how can I bring reconciliation to God, to the original plan that the Lord had for humanity, for the world. And I think, yeah, it's just to add on to that, like Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. They will be after their father's business. Like this is the main point. And I just feel like such a gift from the Lord that we're living this right now, because he's teaching us how to be his children. You know, and the word is just coming alive more than ever. It's a good in a very sovereign time, I guess.
Oh, for real.
And in many ways, like the crisis is really causing us to recognize the injustice of humanity. And as the more we recognize what humanity is, the more it causes us to grieve, you know, to grieve what we desire, what our hearts long for. And in what I love in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, it says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death.
Whoa, that's a revelation.
Yeah.
Can you read that again?
Yeah, totally. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also earnestness to clear yourselves. And it goes on to, you know, the points that you prove yourselves innocent and whatnot. There's more to it, but the main idea is godly grief is meant to draw us closer to him.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what we were just, what we started with the ministry of reconciliation. Right, because when we are reconciled with him, we no longer have that grief. It's joy.
Yeah.
Joy that we are one with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
that's so huge. I mean, I didn't even connect the dots there, of course. Oh, gosh. Just confessing. Wow. I missed it. You know, you just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Godly grief equals good. Worldly grief equals bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but think about what's going on right now. There's so much grief being aired, and it's mostly worldly grief.
Yes.
And right here, we get the roadmap. Hey, that leads to death.
Yeah. And like thinking about it further, you know, godly grief leads to salvation, but it goes to the end times, right? It goes to our hope. When we grieve for what the world is at right now, we long for the hope, which is his return and his reign on the earth. Whereas in worldly grief, you stop. Like, your life ends at death, and there's no more hope.
Right.
And so where your grieving comes from and where it takes you, you know, it's very clear whether that gives you hope or that produces death.
Definitely.
You know,
that's awesome.
I'm going to say something probably a little too intense, but whatever. It's the coffee kicking in. but you know, oh, here I go. You know, so often we've defended this mandate to take dominance over the earth, right?
Yeah.
And Adam and Eve received this instruction, you know, to take dominion. And we've used that as a badge of like, yeah, see, this is our assignment. We got to establish righteousness and just, and all that stuff. And look, I want that. Here's what I just can't ignore that. Yes, they received that assignment, but they failed. I mean, like the crisis
hugely
that came in Genesis 3 was that, hey, you actually couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You actually failed at it. And somehow along the way, we think, well, no, now we're saved. Therefore, now we're able to take dominion. Mm-hmm. And I think there's truth to that. Please hear me. I think there's truth to that. But I think the ultimate story here is that, no, you're not able to take dominion without me.
Right.
But, you know, because you have me, now you get to enter into some of that. Mm-hmm. But the main point that I'm reading here is, but you're not me. You know, I'm me. You're my bride when we do this together. And that's the piece, is that we're so, we've become so comfortable with him not being here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, but you gave me your authority, your money, your power, so I can do this without you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ken, we're sons and children of God and all that beautiful stuff, so we can in his name, which I love that. That's such a generous God and generous husband that wants to give us that. But don't we, as the bride, like as the sons and daughters, like don't we want our father home? Like, don't we want our husband to be here with us, that we could do this together,
right.
You know?
Yes.
And so I think that that when I hear you say this, you know, like, yeah, there's things that we can do and ways we can engage and advance the kingdom of God. But I know that many critics would say, like, hey, but why are you becoming so fatalistic, all making it about when he returns? What about now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do agree there's a now thing, yeah. But there isn't. It's not full until he comes back. Like, that's the story.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm just even thinking about that verse, and you can tell me where it is, where the boundaries of the nations are put in place so that the people would grope for him. Where is that?
Oh, I don't know. Thanks for quizzing me publicly, though.
Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. The main point of, you know, by the way, I don't know addresses very well.
No, nor do I.
But my point is that, man, isn't that so powerful? Isn't that so powerful that there is a impetus that God creates discomfort so that we grope?
Exactly. And I was just thinking, we're not just talking about the black and whites here. We're actually talking about every culture and every ethnos in the world has actually got boundaries around it so that we would reach for God.
Yeah.
But instead of reaching for God, we're actually reaching to have dominance over one another. Yeah. So instead of being reconciled to God and therefore being reconciled with one another, we're actually in our human weakness and sin, we're wanting dominion, but we're wanting dominion unto ourselves and what we can have and the power that we can exert over other people. Yeah. And it can be so heartbreaking knowing that the Lord put the boundaries in place for one reason, mm-hmm. but the enemy comes in and uses it for the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I think it's so heart-wrenching. And we can even see it in our marriages. I mean, we've all married a different culture, a different ethnicity. And in one sense, that's such a clear picture of how the Lord can bring the nations together to reach further in him and bring reconciliation to him. But
just really quick, I want to note that you just prophesied that Angela's going to marry someone from a different ethnicity.
Oh, so. I see it. Angela, you can pick out of hundreds.
We'll see.
Sorry.
As you guys are talking about this, let's not go there. It's kind of like I'm a third culture kid, you know?
Yes.
So I'm a mix of two cultures.
Right. Well,
that I can agree with.
Yeah.
And what I see, what I love is, I remember I had this thought where we're talking about how it's kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And so whenever we said the word kingdom, it's king's domain.
Right.
And so if we declare that our king is Jesus, and so we're under his domain, his dominion, and so we rise above. So we're really underneath another culture.
100%.
We're underneath another nation.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about when we were introducing the apostolic impact. But it comes back to this, right? It comes back to this whole new creation.
Yeah.
Yes.
What we're baptized into.
Right.
I love that, Angela. So good. You know, I got to say this. This is part of the reality. My kids teach me so much. You know, we were walking the other day because we're doing this thing now where we walk every night together, and not my wife. She gets her time putting Sailor to bed, and you know, so I take Levi and Eden with me, and we go on a walk. We talk, and she's a philosopher. She says, "Okay, Dad."
She's the smartest 7-year-old I know.
She says, "So God is like he can do anything, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, he can do anything." And my son's like, "God's so strong, he's fastest ever, you know." Yes. And so that kind of thing is beautiful conversations. But then my daughter's like, "So why doesn't he make us perfect yet? Like, isn't he able to make us perfect?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but so why doesn't he do it now?"
Good question.
So I'm getting stomped, you know. I'm just like, well, honey, that's a very good question. I said all this filler language just to get my mind to catch up. Yeah. No, but because that's the question we all ask.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why there is teaching that says, no, we do have access to it now. Let's make it happen. But the truth is, no. You know, that was one of the criticisms against John Wesley, the revivalist, who then later in his life, he's like, well, maybe I didn't get that completely right. He didn't fully admit to it, but he was, in his younger years, preaching the doctrine of perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that we can be made perfect in this life, like flawless, you know. And of course, history has proven it's probably not true. You know, we're being sanctified. Anyway, yes. I want to get into that detail. The main point is she's asking me this question, and it makes me ask, you know, this question of delay. Because when we're talking about reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, what you were just pointing to, Angela, it's like there's a fixed moment that we know that this king, in this king's dominion, mm-hmm. there's going to be a moment when it's fully realized and expressed.
Yes.
And where we get confused is when does that start? And how much do we have access to when it starts? And all we are saying from our messaging here at the International House of Prayer, the Center for Biblical and Time Studies, is that we know it begun with the cross. He guaranteed it at the cross. He gave us the down payment by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But we are proclaiming pretty boldly and loudly that the fullness does not come until he returns. Yeah. And so where we kind of get in a squabble with our brothers and sisters isn't that we don't agree. We all agree with that, actually. Yeah. It's how much do we have now?
Okay.
And I think that I just want to be humble enough to say, like, hey, you know, do you see sickness in your family? You're like, okay, so clearly we're missing something right now.
Yeah.
And I love what you said and brought into this conversation earlier was sometimes there's things, and this is what I told my daughters, like, you know, sometimes God, you know, he's not in a hurry like we are. And it seems like he creates circumstances so that for eternity we can be grateful. You know, like he makes us feel the pain long enough so that we want him to come back and so that when he does, we're grateful forever.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do the math on that, honey, I told her.
Oh, yeah.
But I do know that he's good.
Amen.
And he's smart.
Yes.
And he's right.
And he likes the conversation. Like he likes it when we ask those questions which our tiny human minds can't answer. Like
right.
He likes that conversation, which is also a powerful thing.
Yeah, and the beauty of that conversation is that it can only happen in this time, like
that's
before
true.
The millennium. I feel like this time is the greatest gift of faith, as in we know he's there and we recognize it, but he isn't physically here.
Mm-hmm.
But during the millennium, those who are going to be in it, they will see and recognize and they can still choose.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is already set before them.
Yeah.
Whereas in right now, we are on this journey with him and we are still figuring it out as we go through life.
Yes, it's so good.
That's such an encouragement. Like when I think about every choice, every act that people didn't see, you know, like he sees it and he's going to reward it. Like he's going to speak of even the moments that we thought we fell so short and, but we turn to the Lord like that. He sees that so beautiful.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. That's why we need the renewing of our minds
yes,
and the renewing of our hearts daily and the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, so to set our minds on that.
Yeah. So I have a question.
Yeah.
What is the point of having different cultures, different ethnic groups? And I know our the higher conversation is reconciliation to God.
Yes.
But I also want to talk about the fruit of reconciliation between man to man. Because obviously Jesus says, within Christ, there is neither female or male, Jew or Gentile. And so in one sense, I'm like, what does that even look like?
Right.
But before we get there, why did he even create different cultures and different ethnic groups and people looking differently?
Yeah.
Like, why would he even do that?
Yeah, well, I actually would love to point our listeners to an episode that we had with Stuart Greaves a long time ago. I mean, early on, like episode 10 or something. Probably not that number, but my point is it was on racial conflict and he addresses this statement. Like in some ways he said, I'm not black. In some ways, you know, he said, we're one new humanity. We're a new race. I don't belong to this category anymore.
Right.
You know, and he was talking about categoras and how it meant. Anyway, the point is that he was mentioning, you know, we're one new humanity. That's the main point. I think Georgie, we need to answer that question. But the whole point of this podcast episode is to say the bigger conversation is God is reconciling humanity to himself, that we might be made into his intention for a humanity. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean we don't engage in the fruit of being made like him or being part of his heavenly family. And I think that that's why we're starting this conversation this way, is so that when we talk to, you know, bring back Kirsten, which she was awesome when we had her last time, helped us to really see the gospel in light of this tension. And so we asked her to come back and several others that are going to be part of this series. When we do have that conversation, we bring it under the banner, the bigger banner, which isn't solving a symptom, but rather dealing with the root cause. Now, all that to say is that when we see the different ethnicities, you know, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see this glorious you know, reality that every nation, tribe, and tongue is represented, mm-hmm. right? And we see even like at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, you know, every tongue confess.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're talking about every ethnic group, every little tribe, everyone is represented with their distinctions.
Yes.
So the differentiation isn't evil in that sense. It's almost like adding more color to the tapestry that God is making.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not stuff that divides us. It's different ways that God reveals himself through us.
Yes.
And we get to see now the beauty of who God is.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger conversation related to our differences. I mean, I could never talk in your very proper. But it's, you know, that's the beauty of it. I love hearing you talk in your accent, you know, like it's like, you know, anyway. And then of course we got Angela with her sass and Nani with her awesome accent too. And you know, my point is, you know, the beauty in all of us coming together isn't to create distinction and differentiation. It's actually to reveal different parts of the beauty of God.
I can never dance like David Forlew. Like, he gets up on that stage and he starts shaking. I'm like, dude, I am white.
I love that. So I think the dignity of, you know, because we see Tower of Babel and how God disperses the people by giving different tongues, you know, to confuse them and stuff. And we somehow think that you know, because that was the curse, that somehow there's no redemptive quality to it. But that's just not God's way.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
God
not.
Uses everything, mm-hmm. and he redeems everything. It's just like who he is. It touches God and it's redeemed.
Yes.
You know, and so I see that the end of the story looks like every tribe, nation, and tongue. I mean, everyone lifting their voice. And, you know, every culture jokes about this, like, you know, well, the heavenly language is going to be Spanish and or whatever language you speak. You know, everyone's always arguing. But it's kind of funny and we're tongue in cheek. But actually, the heavenly language is all of our languages.
Oh, 100%. I'm just reminded even of the podcast we did with Samuel a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about apostolic, was he talking
message.
About the message? Yeah. And how he was saying how it's birthed out of the prayer that Jesus prayed, that we would be one as Jesus and the Father are one. And when you're sat around a dinner table with your family and everyone's married interculturally, or you just have some of your close friends there, it never enters your mind of like, huh, okay, you're black, you're white, you're Asian. Wait a second, how do I feel about this?
Yeah.
Like that never is a question in your mind. You're right. Just, oh my gosh, we're all here together. I'm just so excited that we can be a family and join together in this. Yeah. And so in one sense, it's like when you think about the New Jerusalem and you think about the coming age, we're not going to be having even those thoughts of like, oh wow, you are a different color to me.
Yeah,
this is weird. How do I fit you in my brain? It's not going to be that conversation. It's going to be an overflow of love towards one another.
Right.
And I don't know. It's just our thinking is so different right now to what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to correct our thinking that oneness doesn't mean blandness. You know,
right?
Yeah.
Yes,
oneness means. It means coming together. I mean, the other day I was scrolling Facebook, confessions come out, and and you know this comedian, his name is Steve Harvey. There was one thing that he came up, and he's a funny guy. You know, anyway, the point is, my wife makes a statement saying, you know, so often we think that Jesus is boring. You know, like somebody is funny, and we think that it's independent of God. It's like, but actually, I would think that Jesus is probably the funniest, you know, character in the entire story. Like, he's probably got the best jokes, you know, the best sense of humor, and we view him one way. Anyway, so my point in saying that is Steve Harvey, you know, he's a creature made by God, and there's so many other, but I'm just using this example. And he was engaging an African-American family panel. They're, you know, doing their battling or whatever, and it's just funny stuff that's coming out. Not all of it is great, but, you know, this one was. The main point is that their style came out. His style comes out. The way he, like, peels his eyes and his, you know, lips that are huge, kind of like he's stunned by, I can't believe that guy just said that. And his manner and the way he dances is so not the way I do it.
Right.
You know,
totally.
It's he's a product of the culture that he is from. And it's the point is, though, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And to if we come together under the banner of Christ, you know, which I believe I believe Steve Harvey has a sincere pursuit of God, you know, just because I don't know. I'm just making that statement. The point is we share in that pursuit.
Yeah.
And that doesn't distinguish us. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not better because I know how to save or my job is to talk about spiritual things. No. I think that there's a oneness that we can engage in that we're equally sons of God. Mm-hmm. I'm making a prophetic statement. If he's not saved, I believe he is, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know him, so I can't make that credit. The point is that there's a different thing that unites us. It doesn't separate us.
Yeah, it's true. We get to celebrate the differences and love the differences instead of one, wishing we were like that, or two, putting them down.
Yeah.
They're not as good as us.
I mean, that's why we're called the body, right? Some of us are eyes, some of us are hands. We see in part, we prophesize in part.
Yeah.
And I see the different ethnicities and the different nations as the glory of God. I mean, can you imagine how creative is our God that he created all of these languages, all of these cultures.
7 billion people and no one looks the same.
Exactly. Yeah, like what kind of creativity it takes that our every single fingerprint is different, every single iris is different. And so each person has their own identity. And yet all of that, when we come together in the sea of glass, we are one, reconciled with him. Right, we are one, all united as one bride to be with him in the glorious days.
Oh, it's awesome.
And that, right? That is his creativity and his glory. I mean, if we can think like that, then, you know, we would be equal with him, but we're not. Like, who else has the creativity of God?
Totally.
He only gave us a little bit of it. And look what we can create.
Yeah, 100%. Humans. I mean, we only have this podcast because of Ruben. I would have never thought of this. And it's like Ruben's creativity and entrepreneurial spirit. It's like.
Yeah, but this podcast could only succeed because of Georgie.
and Nani. And Angela.
And Angela. But you, everyone, see, that's the beauty of it. Like even this funny little example of this effort that we've engaged in to empower every believer to understand, live, and share the complete gospel message. You know, it takes a family of very different people coming together under a shared cause because we have one shared hope. Yeah. We are one people in that sense. And you do your part with your superior method of engaging in conversation and Angela's amazing prowess behind the scenes to organize and engage and help me live. And Nani's technical ability to make this all happen, the social media engage, all of that. Look at that. I mean, this is on the surface. We're talking about a task, but we come together, you know, with a shared task and look what can happen. I mean, this is very small, but what would it look like if the people of God all over the world came together with one shared obsession?
Yeah.
One, as we've said here before, magnificent obsession to see that he's exalted in the earth, that he's known, that he is understood as the one who's come to give us life. Well, I believe we'd see an explosion of life all over the earth.
Or read John 17 again. So good.
Well, I really like the way we've set up this series, you know, talking about the bigger picture, because we're gonna dive into the depths of this.
Yes.
We're going to touch the really hard pain points, the hard conversations in the coming episodes. But you know what? Jesus isn't afraid of these conversations, you know? He's a big boy, right?
As they say. Oh, 100%.
He can handle it.
Yeah,
so.
He can handle his own. No, it's true. Thank you for joining us. And again, if you feel like there are questions bubbling up inside and you just don't know what to do with them and you don't know who to ask, ask us. Not that we have the answers at all, but we want to kind of share and engage in the conversation as we ourselves are continually being reconciled to God in our hearts and minds. As we continue the journey with the Lord, we want to continue it with you. So go find us on podcasts, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere that you have the outlet. Subscribe to our channel so you can have the little alert saying, beep, 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 there's a new one. And we look forward to going on this journey of the ministry of reconciliation with you over the next couple of weeks. Have a good week. We'll see you next Friday, 2 p.m. Central Time.
Peace.